Welcome to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast. I'm the creator and host, Andrew Rizza. I'm an allied healthcare professional that has worked in the industry for over 25 years, with the majority of my practice being in the private physical therapy space and in public school athletics. My curiosity prompted me to create Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast to discuss the ever-changing landscape in the healthcare industry, focusing on sports medicine, physical therapy, athletic training, and sports science. Each week, we will discuss the barriers that healthcare professionals face and how we as individuals can collaborate to make the listeners better understand the industry for a better patient and athlete experience. Now, on to the show. This week on Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast, I'd like to welcome Vin Ferrara. Vin is the founder and CEO of Home Impact Partners and the creator of Welcome Health and Home. He has a diverse health-focused background comprised of over 25 years of experience as a researcher, MD, MBA, entrepreneur, operator, management consultant, and healthcare investor. He founded Home Impact Partners because he was inspired by the mission of helping real estate developers and investors build healthy places to live and created Welcome Health at Home to help consumers and families optimize their homes to improve their health. Prior to founding Home Impact Partners and creating Welcome Health at Home, Vin was most recently a managing director at Ziegler, and previously a partner at Concord Health Partners. Vin launched his business career as founder and CEO at Zenith, which helped change the paradigm for concussion prevention and management in sports through a relentless commitment to both innovation and education. Vin was subsequently a managing consultant with the healthcare practice at global consulting firm McKinsey & Company, where he participated in a variety of projects for senior leaders of healthcare systems, medical device manufacturers, biopharmaceutical companies, and private equity firms. He was then a member of the Corporate Strategic and Medical Affairs team at Biogen, a leading neuroscience biopharmaceutical company, and was Chief Business Development Officer at Thorne Health Tech, an innovative consumer wellness company. Vin received an MD from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons, as well as an MBA from the Columbia University Graduate School of Business, where he focused on topics related to healthcare venturing. Prior to graduate school, he worked for 3 years as a researcher fellow at the Transplantation Biology Research Center at Massachusetts General Hospital on protocols designed to increase the availability and success of organ transplants. Vin is a graduate of Harvard University, where he was a government major, and he played quarterback on the varsity football team. Good morning, Vin. Welcome to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast.
Thanks, Rez. Nice to be with you. Good morning.
Talk about your new venture and how that's going to, you know, impact people when it comes to quality of health, quality of life. This is Zara of Home Impact Partners. I've known him for probably 25 years, right? Been a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, I would say back to the early 2000s, right?
We kind of crossed paths. At that time, I think my later 1990s, did my last clinical rotation at Harvard, where you were a junior, a senior football player, quarterback for the team. And then later on, we connected through another venture you were working on as far as safety of football players and helmet safety with your company. So. Welcome. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks for hosting me. It's been great keeping up our friendship over the years, and you've been a huge help to our family, especially with our kids and times of athletic need, which is quite often in our household. So appreciate everything you've done.
So Vin, tell me a little bit about this new venture, Home Impact Partners, and what your vision is of the company and what you'd like to do with it.
Great. So Home Impact Partners was born, I would say, out of the many experiences I've had in and around human health / healthcare. And you know, it was kind of a combination of seeking to create an entrepreneurial venture that was a good fit for me and my experiences, was also, I think, seeking to do something that was well-timed with regard to what I perceive, and I know a lot of others perceive, is an important societal need, which is for people to be able to maximize their health through a focus on their homes as sort of the central guiding principle for their health. And so, you know, I started Home Impact Partners this past fall in October, and it's essentially two efforts under one umbrella. So Home Impact Partners is the company, it's the LLC. That is the brand through which we're going to be working with real estate developers and investors on the process of building healthy places to live. And my goal there is to essentially bring the voice of real people who have real health concerns, issues, aspirations, to essentially bring their voice to the process of building homes, renovating homes, building new communities. We all have some kind of health issue that we're dealing with, either ourselves or a family member. If you look at any kind of particular health condition, you know, diabetes, obesity, mental health, et cetera, there are tens of millions of people dealing with these issues. And there's always some sort of lifestyle prescription that can be beneficial, right? The things that you eat, your access to nature, walking, movement, et cetera. And all of these things end up kind of coming right back to our homes. And so that's kind of the description of Home Impact Partners. The goal there is to work with the people that are literally building these homes and communities. As part of Home Impact Partners, there's also a consumer and family-focused effort, and we're calling that Welcome Health and Home. So we started there with a consumer-focused newsletter at that same domain, welcomehealthandhome.com. And we started putting out information that we think can help people optimize their home environment in order to maximize their health. And when I say home environment, I mean literally their home, whether that's a single family home, an apartment, whether they own it, rent it, live with their parents, regardless of what age you're at, but also that extends into their surrounding community. And so we have this matrix, essentially, of 10 elements of the health and home environment. And so we're building our newsletter around those 10 elements. We just got started a handful of weeks ago and looking to, you know, grow subscribers, but also looking to build a network of partners, companies and organizations that can, you know, bring products, bring services, bring information to people. And so we're working kind of at both ends of the spectrum, the consumer and family end of the spectrum, and also the real estate developer and investor end of the spectrum. So it's a brand new venture. It's kind of pursuing two paths that are, you know, not only parallel, but sometimes they cross also. So I'm glad to be with you and talk a little bit about it today.
Probably a few months back, and as I looked at this, and it kind of bridges a gap for us too, I think, in athletic training and physical therapy together. I look at some of the things that your company's about. So when you look at what things make a healthy home, you look at, you know, environment, healthcare, movement, the social connection, education, safety, transportation, like all those things rolled up. And when I look at physical therapy and athletic training, I know that we need a lot of those elements aren't clearly defined. But if we really break down the person we're working with, there are some things there that impact their recovery. Right. So if there's not a good social connection between myself and the patient or the athlete, then their recovery and their outcomes terrible. If they're not moving, if they're not bought into the healthcare system, if they don't have education from us, if they're not safe at home or have safety, that part, and they can't get to where they need to be, then that becomes a problem with their recovery as well. And same with the environment. If they don't have a good environment, you talk about tissue health and people being able to develop and get better. If somebody is not breathing the greatest air they can breathe at home, their tissue, then the perfusion of that oxygen across the tissue doesn't help them heal. So there's definitely this correlation of what you're doing and what I'm thinking of and what we do every day has a direct relationship. And that's why I felt that, you know, our conversation today would be impactful for the people that are listening.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an important point. I mean, having spent time, you know, close to 30 years now in healthcare, you know, there's, I would say, healthcare practitioners, and you know, I'm an MD medical doctor. I didn't ultimately practice medicine. As you know, I went into the business side of health, but watching, you know, healthcare professionals like yourself, Dr. Yen, et cetera, that are actually involved in patient care, you know, you're often on the receiving end, the downstream end of people's, the ramifications of their environments or their behaviors or their lifestyles. You know, in some cases, it's a fluke injury that nobody really could have predicted. In other cases, maybe it could have been prevented if the environment was optimized in some way. But in any event, you're generally on the receiving end of someone who's in need of something. And your time with them is quite limited, right? You may get a half an hour to an hour with that person if it's an athlete. Or, you know, one of the things I'm always fascinated by is your field of athletic training, physical therapy. You know, I got interested in medicine as a result of that, you know, being an athlete and getting injured and put back on the field, et cetera. But your field spans, you know, every age group. And if you walk into an athletic training facility, a physical therapy facility, you see people of all ages. Mm-hmm. And in some way, shape, or form, their home environment is going to be very important in their recovery. And if their home environment isn't helpful, or if it's sort of a negative effect, your ability as a practitioner to help them goes way down, right? You know, that you have with them, you can help them in that moment, and then you need them for the next 24 hours or 72 hours or whatever the time span in between. You need that time to be well spent. And the reality is, if you look at the statistics, people spend over like 2/3 or more of their time in their home. Mm-hmm. And we're all heavily influenced by our environments. And the environment in which you spend the most time for most people is the home.
Yeah.
And so that is a critical part of your capabilities as a healthcare practitioner. Is, you know, what is going on in the home environment? What's going on when that person leaves your care? You know, is it complementary to what you've been doing, or is it contrary to what you've been doing?
Same, because I saw that it was 90% of the population spends time indoors, and that 2/3.
The stat is we spend 90% of our time indoors.
Yeah. Which is crazy to think about.
That time in our homes.
In your home, and then 1/3 of that in your bedroom sleeping. So if the air quality and the environment is terrible, then you're not actually going to, you know, be able to maximize that health benefit, right? So it is quite interesting to see those statistics. And I think, you know, going back to your newsletter, you had the newsletter I had just looked at and had a chance to read was, you know, there was the Harvard TH Chan School of Public Health has 9 foundations of a healthy building and what that looks like. And not in particular order, but, you know, the ventilation, air quality, thermal health, moisture, dust and pests, lighting and noise, lighting and views, noise, and the water quality, and obviously safety and security is a part of that. You know, briefly, you and I talked pre-recording about, you know, we had just, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I built a new house, and we were talking about air quality in the house. And, you know, the thing that I didn't have a lot of experience with HVAC units, and we were having some issues with some air quality, and the contractor said, oh, you have to, every time the clocks change, every 6 months, you got to do 2 things. You got to change your filters in your, it's a good time to change the filters in your units to make sure that they're clean, so you get good air quality in the house. And also the other thing we don't think about is you're changing the batteries in your smoke detectors, right? So those are things like we just kind of, you know, don't really think about. But the other piece of that is the moisture in the home, where we have a lot of people that end up, you know, getting sick or have allergies, but they don't realize that could be mold related. It could be moisture related. And how do we control that? And some people don't understand that. So I think it's pretty valuable that you guys are putting this information out for the public on that side of the business to be able to read this and understand it and kind of see some of the statistics behind it so they can start to live healthier quality lives.
Thanks. Yeah, the air quality issue is a really interesting one because I think over the years, let's say we've gotten more attuned to thinking and talking about outdoor air quality, and certainly with climate change, I think people are probably paying more attention to that. And I would say probably not paying attention necessarily to indoor air quality. And, I've been in health now for close to 30 years and really just started thinking and learning about that topic myself, months ago as I got into this venture. And I came upon that document. So Harvard's School of Public Health has this Homes for Health program. Dr. Pierce McNaughton has been very helpful to me. He's someone who's actually starting a home assessment business. And so he's someone who, is going to be a partner of ours that we think can be really helpful to our reader base. And he's one of the co-authors of the Homes for Health program. And if you look at that document, you mentioned the 9 foundations of a healthy building. Air quality and ventilation, which are very related to each other, are right at the top of their graphic. And then there are 36 tips for a healthy home that are part of that. And fully half of them are related to air in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really, really interesting topic. And as we've gotten out of the gate here with this newsletter and seeking to organize information and, figure out what's most important to people, it's become clear there are so many topics at this intersection of health and home. And so our task is to organize those topics and, get them out to people in a way that is well-sequenced and compelling. And my goal really is to bring the expertise of, others that are also at this intersection of health and home, bring that expertise to our readers.
The consumer side of the business and what you're trying to do, do you see yourself, targeting or branching out into the athletic, community for families or young families in the future? Is that something that you're thinking of, or is that is that too far out in the distance for you at this point?
It's not too far out, and it's an important question. And, athletics has been such an important part of my life and my family's life. It'd be hard to conceive that it wouldn't be relevant to what we're doing. I think a lot of, particular sports training, whether it's particular athletic movements, whether they're sports specific or they're sort of general athletic movements, a lot of those can be done at home. I know, when our kids were younger, I set up a wall with a net, kind of a rebound net that they could throw into. We have a, the first thing we did when we moved into our house was pave a basketball court in the back, put up a wall, that they could throw against. So I'm a big believer in the ways in which the home environment can be used to foster athletic performance. And again, not just for the sake of winning sports games and stuff, but for the sake of what movement, and a healthy appreciation for movement and sport can do for people's physical health or mental health. So I think it's pretty much inevitable that we will have athletics as kind of a key component of what we're doing. As you know, physical therapy, sports medicine is also coming into the home, literally through digital health mechanisms. One of our sons had an ACL tear 4 years ago, kind of right before COVID ramped up. And was fortunate to get the surgery in before hospitals started shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And the beginning of his physical therapy was down at home, sort of improvised through Zoom calls and whatnot in our living room, And so there's a huge connection between the home itself and sports and movement. And as I mentioned before, when I say the home environment, I'm also including the surrounding community. So to me, it automatically incorporates sort of the local programs. The decision around what sports to participate in, what programs to plan, what's a good fit for your kids, what's healthy, I think is something that is certainly important to me. And I think there's a lot of information that we can provide to people that's of value. So to answer your question, I think the answer is yes. It's inevitable that we'll have a lot of intersection with the athletics space.
Impact. And that's, you know, that's the one thing that I find is the biggest determining factor for anybody recovering from athletic, you know, injury or just, you know, an injury that comes into the clinic, right? If somebody isn't engaged and they don't have a good understanding and education on what the outcome looks like or the prognosis looks like for them, then mentally they can downward spiral, right? And we can really have a problem on our hands with depression, anxiety. There's a lot of things that factor in. And I think the home, you have to have a strong base at home, a strong foundation in order for that to become successful for that person. And we really don't know what's going on outside of the clinic or the athletic training room unless we really engage with that person and understand what they're going through every day. So it's important for us to ask questions and understand them. There is a questionnaire that's filled out, you know, if someone comes into therapy or athletic training, which is called the VR12, which is general health related question. And people sometimes look at it and say, this kind of looks like a psychology questionnaire. What is this all about? Yeah. And I think once you educate them on the why, we want to understand what's going on outside the clinic so we can make sure they're healing it properly. And I talk to young athletes a lot about how they recover and how it's going to look like for them, because, you know, with your kids and with yourself with injury, there's that sense of like, okay, now I'm getting removed from what I like to do the most with the peers that I like to be with and be around. Yeah. Now I can't be involved. How do we mentally prepare them to get them involved? And that's the environment we got to put them back into. And if I have an athlete that has an ankle sprain, they're a lacrosse player, I might have them go out to the field and said, you know what, you can stand there, warm the goalie up and be part of the team, or you can help educate the younger kids to stay involved. And that piece of mental feedback for them is enough to keep them motivated to want to get better. So I think that that whole compounding atmosphere and foundation around them and their family is a big, big factor in the recovery.
Yeah, it's a great point. And that technique of saying, hey, you can warm up the goalie, super important and a great concept to keep that player, that athlete connected to their team, you know, contributing value. That it's a way, I think, of combining, you know, sort of a therapeutic approach, a return to movement, a return to the field, combining it with a social connection element, keeping them connected to their peers, and also contributing value to the team so that the other players can look at that person and say, you know what, that gal is awesome, right? They're injured, but they're out here still trying to help the team. So there's ways in which you can kind of recast a situation like an injury and you know, put it in a new light and keep the child connected with their peers. And the same thing at the other end of the age spectrum, you know, if a senior has an injury or for some reason, you know, is unable to get outside, get in nature, connect with their peers, you know, that can have tangible effects. I know that happened to my mother. You know, my mother had undiagnosed diabetes for a long, long time. You know, she was of a generation of Italian Americans where, at least for the women, if, you know, when you were done having babies, you didn't go to the doctor anymore, at least in my mother's neighborhood. And yeah. So my mother went for like 30 years without going to a doctor. Mm-hmm. And when she finally was having these symptoms, they were like, you have full-blown diabetes. I mean, her hemoglobin A1C was like 14. And we have no idea how long that was going on for. And they got it sort of under near-term control, got the blood sugar down. But the damage had been done. Like, she started to experience diabetic neuropathy, foot pain, and she had to stop working. You know, she worked in a cancer clinic down at the Jersey Shore. You know, she managed an office checking in patients, and that brought her a lot of value. She walked every day out on the boardwalk, and then that all stopped at a certain point, and she experienced pretty profound mental decline. And, you know, so a lot of that really had to do with being unable to move in the way that she had been used to.
Yeah.
And so the main point there, especially for seniors, you know, keeping them active, keeping them connected through movement is an incredibly valuable mission.
A good amount of Medicare patients that come into the clinic in Wellesley, and The great thing about Wellesley, they have an unbelievable senior center, which is right down the street from us. So again, we don't know outside of the clinic what they're going through. I had a patient last year, gentlemen, we were trying to, you know, discharge from therapy. And I think you and I briefly might have chatted about this. He was doing great, had a knee injury, was completely functional, back to normal activity. And I was trying to discharge him. And I didn't know, I knew that his wife had passed away a couple months prior. And him and I were just chatting. And he said, you know what? I just wake up sad every day. He's like, I wake up, I don't know what to do. And for him, the exit strategy for him or to feel better was to go to therapy every day and engage with those people. So for him, that was his mental kind of up, you know, being up and feeling better is that mental capacity of being able to engage with people. So I introduced him to the senior center and I said, you know what, this is going to be a great thing for you. You're going to meet people. You're going to be able to get out in the community and this is going to help you. And, you know, he thanked me for that, which was, you know, for me, it's rewarding because we did something for him that we really didn't know about until we got to the point where we were like, you know, you're all better. We have to discharge you. But I think he valued that conversation and that, you know, he doesn't have that engagement at home. So for him, he's got some family in town, which is great. They're close to him, but he needed other people to be around. So that mental component is huge when it comes to recovery and for healing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that's a credit to you and others like you when you practice your profession, the art of conversation. I think is a huge part of the physical therapist world. And I've, you know, watched you in action, whether it's, you know, helping me or my kids, you know, that conversation piece, I think is super important. And it obviously helped you uncover something for someone that was really important. And, you know, I know from, you know, thinking back to athletic days, the athletic trainer, and that training, the athletic training room, you know, is such a critical element of the experience for young athletes. And it's so much of the memories that I think athletes have are in that, you know, in that athletic training
room. In that space, yeah.
Yeah, with their teammates, with their athletic time. And I think back to our times at Harvard with, you know, TK Kennedy, Gary Geisler, MO, you know, Anthony. Those are some of the most vivid memories.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's you're in your social element. You know, if you're in that room, it probably means something is up, you need help with. You know, it's kind of a vulnerable time sometimes if you're injured, and that conversation in that room a lot of times is you know, it's always interesting, it's always valuable, and obviously, you know, that story you just told, that doesn't go away. That matters all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an environment that people like to be involved with. Like you said, like I had my episode two, I was, had a physician who's from Ortho Arizona, who was actually a former Western grad. And he said, you know, we all love going to the athletic training room. He's like, hurt or not, that was like the social place to be, but it was also good because it was like an extension of them as athletes. Right. So they like to come in, if they had a quick question, they would ask and try to, you know, figure out what was going on with them, if anything. But I feel like in, you know, high school, and even if you look into college, like the athletic trainers are extension of your parents, right? For you, it's a comfort area. So if you needed something, you knew somebody was looking out for you and that they were going to take care of you in the right way, because your parents might be thousands of miles away and they're not around the corner for you to be able to go to. So I think mentally,
yeah,
that's a good.
As we're talking, I'm like, you know what, we need the version of this for non-athletes too. Like if somebody, just a place where, you know, kids can go and hang out and talk and, you know, get a little bit of information, a little bit of advice, a little bit of social connection. It'd be a valuable thing for people to have, even if they weren't on a sports team.
You know, looking past the athletic piece, do you feel like, you know, with your relationships with physicians that you went to school at Harvard or even to Columbia Medical School, what does it look like as far as the public health or even private health sector for you? Is there, has there been conversations yet about that and how to work with that, within the organizations that you have connections with, or, you know, peers that you'd work with, or gone to school with, and helping to get the message out?
Yeah, it's definitely a goal of mine to bring, that network that I've been fortunate enough to develop to bear in this new initiative. You know, one of the things I want to do is do what you're doing is start a, you know, podcast and interview people, interesting people. And so when I think about classmates of mine, teammates of mine, you know, who went on to practice medicine and, you know, gathering and telling their stories, not just about their professions, but about their own personal experiences as students, as athletes, as just as human beings, right? Their own health needs and conditions, those of their family members. So I'm planning to do outreach on that front. I'm interested also in how we can bring information and initiatives that are going on at hospitals and health systems to people. So there's massive change going on in the healthcare industry in terms of how healthcare is moving to the home. And, you know, COVID accelerated that very rapidly. So the rise of telemedicine, the rise of home-based primary care, essentially the return of house calls, the rise of hospital at home, providing more acute care. There is an increase in, you know, sort of digital therapeutics now. We have these things called prescription digital therapeutics that are essentially apps that you can engage via your smartphone or a computer-based app, and it takes you through certain steps and stages, and those are FDA, you know, clinical trial approved. So there's real therapeutics that come in home. There are kind of clinical trials, you know, even extending to gather information from people at home. There's blood testing, you know, saliva testing, gut microbiome testing. There's all these ways that health is coming into the home. And there's not only private companies, you know, technology companies and startups that are seeking to do that, but real established hospitals and health systems are seeking to do the same thing. So I had a recent conversation with Steve Wiviat, who's a neighbor here in Wellesley, and he's a cardiologist at Mass General Brigham. And we had a conversation around how, you know, they're looking at extending their clinical trial approaches to reach people in their homes, and how Mass General Brigham and frankly, all other systems, I don't mean to just plug Mass General Brigham, but all other systems are trying to engage people in their homes. And so one of the upcoming newsletters we're planning is just sort of an overview of all those things I just rattled off so that consumers can understand their options, right? Mm-hmm. Healthcare for a lot of people is consumed in a very traditional fashion, right? You know, you call the doctor, you make an appointment, it's, you know, if you're lucky, it's within a couple of weeks. But there are new ways of consuming healthcare, and hospitals and health systems are really keenly trying to reach people in their homes. That is the future of healthcare, and especially with the aging population that we have, you know, tens of millions of people that are reaching, you know, senior ages in the coming years. It's going to be imperative for our country, really for the world, but just, you know, certainly keeping these folks in our country for a moment. It's imperative that healthcare reaches people at home. So we want to be part of that somehow, for sure.
There's obviously, there's a lot of populations that don't reach healthcare, right? They don't get out to the hospital. They don't get to their primary care. You made a comment about your mother had, after so many years, didn't, you know, wasn't seen by somebody. So how can you bring that into the home so they can have easy testing, right, with technology, and to be able to catch some of these, you know, comorbidities that people aren't picking up? And, you know, it'd be interesting to see the statistics across the country of how many people do not get to healthcare practitioners to be able to find out some of the things that they might be, their body is going through that could have been prevented if they got there a year ago or 6 months ago. And the technology is definitely there. Just how do you box that and how do you put it to good use, right?
Yeah. The technology is there. I think it's, you know, part of it is messaging, letting people know what's available. Huge issue topic in our healthcare system is just the sort of financial incentives involved and who's paying for what and when. Yeah. You know, our system in the United States, I think, is the envy of the world when it comes to providing specialized high-end care. I mean, people come from all over the world to the United States, and I know, you know, our family has needed that high-end care, Boston Children's, et cetera. You know, we've needed it multiple times. Mm-hmm. So our system is incredible at that. Our system is not great when it comes to the, you know, what I call the upstream sort of earlier preventive
medicine
care.
Yeah.
And that's where part of my interest in the intersection of health and home comes from, is that the upstream components of your health, your behaviors, your choices, your environments, things that happen at a young age, because you spend so much time in your home, so much of, you know, your health is going to be dictated by what's happening at home. And if our health system hadn't had continuity between what was happening at home, back to the beginning of our conversation, right? If there were continuity between what was happening at home and what's happening in the actual healthcare delivery space, you know, we have a lot better outcomes. You know, the health of our country, the United States, is surprisingly poor when you look at metrics compared to other wealthy nations. It's actually fairly startling, some of the statistics, actually.
Thank you for tuning in to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast. This is your creator and host, Andrew Rizza. If you enjoyed the content from today's episode, give us a like, leave a comment, and share on social media. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at Behind Sports Med Podcast, on X under AJR Sports Sci, or check out our websites at ajrsportsscience.podbean.com and at ajrsportsscience.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at AJR Sports Science. Tune in next week for part two, where Vin and I conclude our conversation discussing the challenges in healthcare systems and the need for healthcare to reach people in their homes. We discuss the need for awareness and access to healthcare, highlighting the importance of addressing both the economic impact and the availability of resources. Vin goes on to explain his goal of working with developers and builders to create healthier communities and improve the health impact of the built environment. Vin then emphasizes the role of the environment in influencing behaviors and genetics, and the importance of making daily choices for better health. We wrap up our conversation with some advice for students pursuing careers in health and business, emphasizing the value of mentorship, and finally reflecting on his career journey and the evolution of his focus on health and home.